Hi everyone, Julian here. Welcome to a new episode of the weekly guitar meeting, where I'm going to highlight our new guitars that we have received in our shop. And all of today's guitars are new guitars made in 2026. And the first guitar of this week's weekly guitar meeting is an absolutely beautiful instrument, as you can see. This guitar is made by the Italian guitar maker Umberto Cevoli, and this is for me a premiere because it's the first time that I'm getting my hands on Umberto Cevoli guitar. And this is a Taurus model, as you can see, with a lot of beautiful decorations and very precise way of working, precisely built. Because some guitars have a lot of decorations, but if you pay attention to the details, the guitar is not built that well and that precise. But in this case, the decoration is beautiful. There are a lot of decorations, but also it's built precisely. And it is a super lightweight guitar. It's 1,265 grams. And it comes with a spruce top and flame maple back and sides. And the air body frequency of this guitar is between C and C sharp. So it's super deep, and you will hear it when I'm playing a few notes on it. Brand new from 2026. And my colleague Francisco Mora did also an interview with Umberto. Very interesting.
If you had to define your building philosophy in one sentence, what would it be?
Making something that makes me happy with the thing that I have built. So making something that is relatable to my tastes and can be maybe connected and related to those historical instruments I like. So making a guitar I like at first, and then making something that obviously could be enjoyable for the person who have the instrument.
If you had to define this guitar in three words, what would you say? Which three words would you choose?
I would say light, because it is very light. Organized, I suppose, because I think the voicing and the registers of the guitars are quite balanced, so maybe organized or balanced, let's say. Demanding, yes.
Why demanding?
Because it is, I think it is a very pleasant guitar to play. Mm-hmm. But in this kind of project, not only my guitars, but in this kind of project, Taurus style guitars, you can search a lot of things you can't see at the first approach. I think that it is a guitar that can help you finding and trying some new possibilities. Mm-hmm. About the instrument itself.
Hi everyone, Francisco here. I hope you're enjoying this week's weekly. We have a very special guest today. With me is Umberto Cevoli. Did I pronounce that correctly?
More or less.
Yes. Thanks. Young Italian maker, very young, but already has amassed impressive work of restoration, guitar making, and research.
Yeah, I do my best.
So, welcome to SICAS.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure to me.
So, Umberto, what have you brought for us today?
Well, I brought my last guitar, made this year, finished this year. And this is a Taurus homage, as you can maybe see from the aesthetic view. And it's a very traditional guitar, very, very classical guitar, let's say.
Well, please do not undersell yourself. This is a fine crafted instrument with beautiful inlays, a very fine work on the decoration, the pufflings.
Yeah, I obviously did my best in order to recreate the Taurus context, of course, and to pay an homage to maybe the most influential guitar maker of the history, for sure. Mm. And so I tried to do an instrument that is not a copy of Taurus. I already did some copies. But it is inspired from the work of Taurus, so has some motifs, some decorations, very, very obviously very similar to the originals, but maybe combined in a slightly different way.
One of the things that struck me first was the very deep audit resonance.
Yes.
Is this something you designed or something that happened?
This is both something I'm searching to during the construction of the guitar, but is also a consequence of the construction style I decided to use in this case. I always aim to do a low body resonance because I love the type of organizing the instrument voicing, and also the response of the bass. You know, the feeling of the deep bass is always beautiful, like a cello. So it's something very, very relatable to feelings, but also to the voicing organization of the guitar. So I think it is very important in order to have an historically correct, let's say, instrument, but also a very organized instrument in order to make colors and stuff on the fingerboard.
And how did you manage such a low resonance in a relatively small body?
Yeah, the body is not very big. It is torus shape, of course, and but the this type of low resonance is, as I say, the consequence of the construction. Obviously, the soundboard is quite thin, but it's not extreme. And I like to use in this type of construction different types of spruce. In this case, this is Val di Fiemme spruce, Italian spruce, that is very, very light, but also very, very compact, you know, very homogeneous. So I decided to match it in four parts and to use all the parts with the vein of the spruce I liked. So in this case, I decided to cut some spruce parts and to use them in such positions. And this lightness of the material itself gives me the opportunity to go lower with the body resonance without going extreme with the thicknessing of the top.
Ah, so you use four parts in order to get the best grain on it.
Yeah, this is something I learned from Torres itself, to use the wood, not maybe the best looking wood itself, but the best wood for the project I have in my mind, you know. So in this case, I decided to use very homogeneous and regular spruce. So the table was not like there. So I decided to cut it in halves and to use it in those positions in order to, let's say, help the work of the bridge. So the gluing are under the bridge. And also in order to stiff some very critical areas of the guitar when the bridge starts to move, obviously the guitar is
yes
moving
a big load.
And so I decided to prevent in a sense also maybe future cracks or problems of the guitar, you know, for this type of construction.
So you're trying to really make the top work as good as possible by choosing
I tried to do my best in order to manage all the movements the body will have in the future. And also in order to stiff some critical areas, in order to not get, you know, too much weak points on the fingerboard, and to have low body resonance but without losing all those very singing characteristics of the treble and all those very nice aspects of the singing treble of the guitar. So when you go very low with the resonance and with the thicknessing, the problem could be the first string, of course, because it loses energy. So I try to do my best in order to not lose so much energy on the first string.
Very interesting. You just said that you learned this four-piece top directly from Torres. What do you mean by this?
Torres didn't tell me anything recently. He told me in the dreams, but no, it is a learning I gained from Torres, both from Torres and both from Gabriele Lodi, which is a very inspiring maker to me. I have the privilege to talk with him very, very often, and he explained me some things about Torres. He focused me some things about Torres that I developed after that in my own way. And Torres, as we maybe all know, didn't have many materials, many possibilities. So he decided to just take the best parts of the materials in order to make the guitar. And I simply decided to do the same thing, because I like very much this type of spruce. I use it for 3 guitars before this one, and they all work very well. So I decided to use exactly this kind of spruce for this construction, but then I decided to match the grain in a way maybe also Torres would have done. Okay. I hope.
So you don't live far from Gabriele Loggi, actually.
No, it's like an hour and a half by car. Yeah.
So you had a chance to study a lot of historical instruments, I imagine.
Yes, I started visiting the Gabriele Loggi's workshop as a visitor, as a lover of this kind of ancient and historic guitars, and then we started collaborating in a certain way. But yeah, the biggest opportunity and the most fantastic possibility he gave me was the possibility to look at those original instruments, you know, because I'm very in love with that type of sound, with the dimension also of construction style, and I learned lots of things from those instruments by looking at them simply.
Next thing that will catch, well, that caught my eye, is the beautiful flamed maple you have.
Yeah. Here.
What about how is it working with this maple against, let's say, Indian rosewood?
Maple is quite a unique wood, I think, because first of all, it is the wood violin makers use since ever, you know. So I started thinking about it and realizing it will have lots of potential in a certain sense. Because I think it is midway between very light woods like cypress, like spruce as well, and very or more
dense
woods. So I think maple gives a very peculiar tone to the guitar, quite brilliant, also very woody, a little bit boxy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it could also, let's say, damp a little bit some frequencies. And I think that is something maybe a little bad, but also very good sometimes, because when you have very low body resonances, there could be many frequencies that go on their way, you know. And so I think it stabilizes very much the guitar tone and gives a very beautiful natural and organic tone to the guitar. And I think it is also the best way, in my opinion, to pay homage to Torres and to Spanish makers, because for them, it was an exclusive wood.
True.
We all can access very easily maple nowadays, but in the 19th or 18th century as well, but in the 20th as well, it was not a common wood in Spain, because we weren't in Europe. Spain was Spain, Italy was Italy, and so the maple coming from the east was very very far from the Spain. So I think this Spanish maker decided to do their best guitars when they had very special maple back and sides, and I think that works very very well with a traditional style guitar as this one, because it is, as I said, midway between a very light and let's say more flamenco with let's not talk about flamenco, but let's say more very lighter guitars, and then it has some characteristics in between those two types of woods.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that the natural damping is actually an advantage in this case with the low resonance, so that it doesn't get very muddy. It remains clear.
Because sometimes when you go very very low with the resonance, obviously you can you have the I don't know how to say the focus on the fundamental note the guitar is sounding. And so maybe combining that this kind of characteristics with very resonant woods, or very, let's say, more, yes, with dense woods, I think it is sometimes a bit, you know, tricky to manage, because the guitar sounds too over-resonate sometimes. So I like this very, but obviously it depends on what are building and every aspect of the construction. So in this case I decided to use maple, because to me it is very very natural with those kind of characteristics the guitar I had in mind had.
Do you also follow the the historical construction way for this guitar?
Yeah, this is completely historically based construction. So it's very traditional, seventh unbracing as Torres did, and nothing very special apart from maybe some attention to the gluing process, to the glue I used to build, and obviously I tried to do my best in order to select the best wood, always very seasoned wood. I think maybe this is one important characteristic. Very seasoned wood helps to have a very stabilized instrument, especially when you have very low thicknessing of the top, you know. And the guitar, I think it is very ready when it's finished, because wood is already very dry. So I think it is very fascinating, because the guitar sounds already a little bit old, you know. But that's because of wood.
Mature.
Because wood is very old.
Yeah.
And so
How old are we talking?
30, 40 years, more or less. Yeah.
Quite.
Both for spruce and for back and sides.
Okay. And do you close the guitar from the back or from the top?
Yeah, from the top.
Wow.
Yeah. When I approach to Torres style, or in general to very low thicknessing, very thin tops, soundboards, I like to close the guitar with the soundboard as the last part. I think that helps me a lot to make two things. The first one is the setup, so the neck angle and stuff like that, because it gives me the opportunity until the end to make very little adjustments on the neck moving, in order to get a very homogeneous fingerboard and not to stress the guitar construction in terms of take the movements from a part to another, you know. And it also helps me to reduce the stress on the soundboard itself, because if you make all the gluings starting from the soundboard, every gluing, let's say, stresses a little bit the soundboard because of glue eating and then getting cold, you know.
Yes.
And so the wood is continuously moving from cold to wet to hot and cold, hot and cold. And I think that those very thin soundboards tends to get a little bit overwhelmed by those stressed. So I like to glue the soundboard as the last thing, as sorry for my example, as when you sit on the sofa, you have done everything in your day, and then you put just your blanket on, and that's the concept of the soundboard. The soundboard is like just put on the guitar and
yes,
and the guitar is finished.
More than a sofa, it looks like you're resting on a bicycle.
Yes.
It's a balance act.
Yeah, it is a balance act, yes. Also because the soundboard obviously is the balance of the guitar. So everything is moving from the soundboard.
It's very interesting, this comment, because I noticed also that the fingerboard feels very homogeneous, but there is very little tension here. It doesn't feel stiff, like I need to pluck.
Yeah, this is something depending on the construction method, and also about, as I said before, setup and neck movement, and also obviously bridge heights. So the bridge is very Torres style, so not very high in the sense of projection of the string. And I think it is all, I try to balance all those aspects in order to get a comfortable guitar that sounds in a certain way. And yes, this is something I bring back from my Baroque construction method, because I have been constructing some Baroque guitars as well. And when you build like a Stradivari style guitar, the last gluing is the soundboard, because all those guitars were built more or less like a violin. So with internal shape, and then you make hand blocks, and then sides, back, neck, and then at the end soundboard. So it is very natural to me. It is not it is not complex, because I am used to do that. And so it is not something I searched for, but something I decided to transport into classical guitar construction. But I think some makers, maybe as Torres, did this process in order to get the soundboard free of tension. I think Torres did it too. And other makers, Spanish makers.
Very interesting.
And it's not that complex. It is quite
so you say
quite easy at the end.
Umberto, last, finally, tell us a bit about the ornamentation choice for this guitar. Yeah.
The ornamentations are personal, but as I said before, obviously very, very inspired from Torres, so nothing strange. And they are in particular inspired from those maple Torreses, second epoch maple Torres. In particular, I had the opportunity, the privilege, I would say, to look at a very nice guitar made by Torres in the second epoch, SA35. And that guitar inspired me a lot. I made a copy out of that. It turned out very well, and I decided to look at that project and try to do mine. And then so it is very Torres style with little square motifs, Wateros, and but the headstock, for example, is inspired by FA17 from first epoch. So it is like a mix of Torres style decorations, but I try to recreate the style of a Torres maple guitar, not Indian rosewood, not a Brazilian rosewood or Cypress guitar, but I think it is quite in style of some maple Torres guitars. So it is personal, but obviously very, very inspired. And I only try to combine differently some elements.
Great. Well, to close, can you tell us a bit maybe what your plans are for the future?
My plans for the future are simply continuing to do my best in making guitars and continuing building those kind of instruments, and simply because I love them. This is my style of construction. Those instruments, the original ones, are the ones who inspired me most and continues to inspire me. I have the opportunity and the possibility to look at those very often, so it is something very important to me because it gives me some ideas in order to construct my instruments, because sometimes when you look at someone better than you, you try to emulate those things and try to do your personal way to achieve those results. Mm-hmm. And that's all.
Well, it's certainly very inspiring to have you here with us.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best in your exchanges with Torres and other masters.
Yes.
And I leave Julian to show us a bit how the guitar sounds.
Thank you.
Wonderful sound. Two things I have noticed straight away. First of all, the fast response of this guitar. It has a trampoline effect. You know, the tones jump out of the guitar super fast. And the second thing is that the character of the sound. It has a relatively dark and slightly boxy sounding character. What I find very interesting is that you can still follow every note. So the separation in the tone or in the chords is there, but at the same time you have a slightly boxy sound. It's actually two different things, but it's combined at the same time. And the corpus of the guitar is slightly smaller than the usual guitars. I think also the nut is probably not 52 or 51. It might be even 50 millimeters. But for the more detailed information, please check our website. You can find the link to this guitar in the video description. At least for my feeling, everything feels slightly smaller. Yeah, it gives me, it's funny, sometimes the feeling of a double top guitar, because the sustain is not the longest, but the response of the guitar and how fast the tones are going out is super fast, and it's like a quality of a double top guitar. And the projection will be probably very good in a big concert hall. Also, that this is a very colorful guitar. Wow, it has a very elastic sound. Even without moving your fingers too much, you can create a very different color. Wow, it's a lot of fun to play on this guitar. And let me know your thoughts on the sound of this Umberto Cevoli guitar. Congratulations to him for his amazing work. Let's move to the next instrument. The next guitar is made by the Italian guitar maker Daniele Chiesa. And we had last week a guitar made by Daniele Chiesa, a wonderful traditional guitar with 64 centimeters scale. But this guitar is a double top guitar. It's the 30th anniversary model made by Daniele Chiesa, so it's a special model, and it's a double top guitar with a slightly elevated fingerboard, a beautiful rosette, Daniele Chiesa's DNA rosette, and we have a cedar top, Indian rosewood back and sides. And I think Daniele Chiesa's guitars have always a very elegant tone. And they have a very specific sound character. Very elegant, very focused sound. It feels like everything is on point regarding the sound of his guitars. But let me play a few notes on it and then you can judge the sound. Double top guitar with a beautiful traditional tone. And I think this is also what Daniele Chiesa is aiming for. He wants to keep that quality. quality of a traditional sound, which is a very even and balanced sound, colorful, detailed and focused, but adding some qualities of a double top guitar, such as the faster response and slightly rounder tone. And it has also a great dynamic range, a very wide dynamic range. Guitar. Super beautiful tone. Also, the comfort on this guitar is on point. It is one of the most comfortable guitars that I have played in the recent years. Maybe it's just suitable to my way of playing, I don't know, but everything seems very precise and everything makes sense. Let me know your thoughts on the sound of this Daniele Chiesa guitar, the 30th anniversary model or anniversary model. A double top guitar which sounds super natural and it gives me the vibes of a traditional guitar with the qualities of a double top guitar. Great work by this Italian maestro. Well, let's move to the next guitar. The next guitar is coming from Slovenia and it's made by the Slovenian guitar maker Angelo Patic, and it's a brand new guitar from 2026. It has wonderful Indian rosewood back and sides. Beautiful, wow. And it has some characters of a, I don't know, South American, Bolivian rosewood or Santos rosewood, but it's Indian rosewood. And we have obviously spruce top. It's a traditionally built guitar. Just let me play a few notes on it because I think this is the second guitar made by Angelo Lopatic that I'm playing or reviewing. And the last one was slightly older, from, I don't know, maybe 2010, I can't remember, but it wasn't a 2026. guitar. So I'm very excited how this guitar sounds. I think from the guitars of today, this is the guitar with the longest sustain. Yeah, the tones are very long and the tones are somehow very heavy. They have a lot of core. They are pushing forward. The response is not as fast as the two previous guitars, but the sustain is longer. So at the end, it's a matter of choice and what you personally need in a guitar. And it has also a very bright sound. It is a very colorful guitar. Beautiful tasto. Yeah, very traditional. Nice, very nice. Congratulations to Angelo Patic for this very nice sounding and very comfortable guitar. It's a very comfortable guitar to play on, and it's actually one of the most important things for the guitarists who are performing on the stage, but also for every guitarist, also for someone who is playing an instrument just for himself at home to enjoy. And it's like a meditation, isn't it? Well, let's move to the next guitar. We have still two guitars left. And the next guitar is made by the Italian guitar maker. Today is somehow a Italian guitar maker's weekly guitar meeting. This is made by Giancarlo Nannoni, who is building super beautiful sounding guitars. I remember we had, I think, two guitars since I'm at Zika's Guitars made by Giancarlo Nannoni, and I enjoyed both guitars. And this one is also very interesting. It has a, no, it's not a cedar top, it has a spruce top. So I guess this is a thermo spruce. And we have Madagascar rosewood back and sides, a very reddish Madagascar. And it's a lattice braced guitar. So lattice, one of my favorite constructions, and Madagascar, one of my favorite woods. So it's a great combination for me personally. And this guitar has the name Asterope, or Asterope. I don't know if it's an Italian word or just the English one. But anyway, Giancarlo Nannoni, brand new from 2026. And let's play a few notes on it. Guitar with full of soft overtones, and this is also a character of a lattice braced guitar. Long notes, a lot of soft overtones, which are it's like a soft cloud, sound cloud. But I find it very interesting that the first string is slightly more bright than the others. And I think he did it with purpose for being able to play the melody line much more clear. Because, yeah, with a lot of pieces, the melody is on the first string. And some guitar luthiers try to make the first string slightly more bright, so that it's easier to bring out the melody line. Thank you. can hear the brightness of the first string. So it was a guitar made by Giancarlo Nannoni, the Astorop, and it's a lattice-braced guitar with wonderful Madagascar rosewood back and sides. And let me know your thoughts on the sound of this instrument, and let's move to the last one. And the last guitar of this week is made by Raffaele D'Antone. And we have had a few guitars made by Raffaele D'Antone, all traditional and super beautiful guitars, very good sounding guitars, very well balanced and elegant tone. And this one looks also wonderful. Very clean work. It comes with a very high quality spruce top and Indian rosewood back and sides. Let's play on it. Sustained singing notes, and as I said, very well balanced, very even sound. I think if you are looking for a traditional guitar which is able to produce a good volume for a traditional guitar and to project well and to have a wide dynamic range, you might love this guitar. Also the dynamic range. If you push the guitar gives you that volume and the intensity that you are asking for without sounding overdriven. I think this is one of the main qualities of a Raffaele D'Antone guitar, and congratulations to him for his very good work. And it was also the last guitar of this week. Please let me know which guitar did you like the most and why. I mean, we had quite very different guitars today. Lattice brace, double top, a Taurus model, this one. Yeah, I'm very curious. Please like the video, subscribe to our channel if you are still not a subscriber. Have a nice weekend and see you next week.